Good morning. So today we'll be reading from Isaiah 1. So let's all read it together first. So Isaiah 1, the vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear me, you heavens, listen, earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its master, the donkey its owner's manager, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Woe to the sinful nation, a people whose guilt is great, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. Why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured, your whole heart afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with olive oil. Your country is desolate. Your cities burned with fire. Your fields are being stripped by foreigners right before you, laid waste as when overthrown by strangers. Daughter Zion is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like a hut in a cucumber field, like a city under siege. Unless the Lord Almighty has left us some survivors, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations. I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals I hate with all my being. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time where we can come together, just study your word, just allow you to speak to us. Father, we just humble ourselves before you. We ask that even in this short time, Lord, we pray that we open our hearts before you. We humble ourselves before you, before your word. I pray that that you would speak to us very clearly. I pray that you would give us hearts ready to receive what you have for us today. I thank you, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So good morning. It's been a while since I've spoken on Saturday. I just had a baby a few months ago, so I've been on a break from this. But I'm glad to be back, and I'm very excited because today's sharing. So I just woke up early, and I was just asking the Lord what I should share. And I just felt like the Lord saying, well, share out of the McChain Bible reading that you're doing today. And then I thought, okay, so I was reading, and this part really spoke to me, the Isaiah 1 passage, especially chapter 1 to verse 11, and I'll read it again. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me? I have more than enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. And when you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood. And especially this part. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight and stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. And actually, so as I was reading this, I really felt like, you know, share something out of this. And it was very interesting. And I'll share the news item. But this morning, at the headline of the SCMP, the South China Morning Post, there was this article about, and I'll share that, but it seemed like really God wanted to share this, so I'm very excited. So anyway, let's go back to this. Just to give, you guys all know, so this is a very famous passage. I'm sure many of you have heard it before. So especially this part, just to kind of unwrap it a bit, God, I get what Father God was saying to Israel at the time was essentially, you know, you guys are doing, in terms of all the religious thing, in terms of, let's say, coming and doing your tithes and offerings, you know, I've set appointed times for you to come to the temple, give sacrifices, remember what I did. So you're doing everything on the outside, but, and outside-wise, you seem like everything is okay, but actually, you're really not doing it the heart of what I wanted you to do. And because of that, actually, this was such a wake-up call. He says even, when you come and pray to me, I actually hide my eyes from you. And when you offer many prayers, I don't even listen because your hands are not clean. And so what does he say in verse 16? He says, wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. And then he says in 17, learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless and plead the case of the widow. So, obviously, there's many things that they were doing wrong. They were worshiping other idols. They had not cleansed themselves of the worshiping of different other deities in the land where they were. They were obviously stealing. They were lying. There was corruption. But I find it interesting that all those things was summarized in learn to do right, seek justice. So if you look at verse 17, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. Like if you just think about the number of words in that sentence, what God says for them to do, he said, okay, do the right thing, seek justice, and then he spends the rest of it focusing on defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, and plead the case of the widow. So for me, he could have said here, stop lying, stop stealing, stop giving false witness, obviously stop worshiping other idols, and obviously he means that too, but I found it very interesting that most of that sentence is actually focused on help the oppressed, help the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. The Message version says, essentially, work for justice, help the down and out, so those who don't have power, stand up for the homeless, go to bat for the defenseless. So, not saying that there are not other things that Israel was doing wrong at the time, but the fact that God was highlighting, especially taking up the cause of those who don't have the right to help themselves, who don't who are essentially unable to defend themselves. And I thought that was very interesting. So, first point, I feel like essentially there's no point at playing church, right? We must be obedient in all aspects. God sees everything, including our actions in and out of church. I mean, to contextualize what it would mean in the current time about, you know, being, doing all the religious things, right? So going to the temple, observing all the new moons and feasts. For us, in our context, maybe it could be you attend Sunday service. It could be that maybe even that you're tithing or giving offerings. Maybe it means attending house church, and maybe even that you are serving on one or multiple ministries. And those are all good things. I mean, God wasn't saying that following those festivals, essentially doing those things was not something wrong, but he was saying that's not enough. Just doing the outward, the actions, is not enough. So we could be serving in church, we could be doing all those things, and we should be, but he's saying doing that, so there's different levels, right? So if you're serving in church with a joyful and obedient heart, you know, serving to the Father, that's awesome. That's great. And we should be doing that. But if we're only doing that in church, maybe that's not enough. I guess what I mean is, if we are only in these four walls to bless ourselves, instead of thinking about the condition of maybe the city that we have been planted in, the condition of the oppressed, the condition of the defenseless, I think God might be thinking, you don't really have my heart for where I have planted you. Does this make sense? So I think, you know, for example, let's say we go to the Ten Commandments, and it says, obviously, you know, don't have idols, don't lie, don't give false witness, don't steal, don't murder, etc., etc. But, and I think as church members, we all understand that. But I feel like, it was just my sense this morning as I was praying, I feel like as Solomon's Porch, we are an international church, but we have been planted here in Hong Kong. I feel like sometimes we might have a transient kind of mentality. Maybe not those of you who are sitting here this morning, but maybe the majority of the church. We didn't grow up in Hong Kong. We are here maybe on limited time, maybe just a few years, maybe some of us longer. But God says, wherever you've been called, care about the powerless. Care, essentially, when he says care for the orphan, care, plead the case for the widow, what he really means is those who can't, who have no power. We as a church should be caring for those who cannot help themselves. That's essentially what God is saying. And it's not only limited to widows and orphans, right? We have to always think about the principle of what God is saying in the Word. And I feel like what God is saying in the Word here is, look around where you've been planted. Look around. At the time it was Israel, and it was saying, look around in your country, in Jerusalem, whatever. But for us, look around here in Hong Kong. Who are the ones who are like the widows, who are like the orphans, those who cannot help themselves? You know, in Deuteronomy 24:17 even, it says, do not deprive the foreigner or the fatherless of justice, or take the cloak of the widow as a pledge. In Amos 2:7, he says, they trample on the heads of the poor as on the dust of the ground, and deny justice to the oppressed. So, even though it's not specifically in the Ten Commandments, I think God very much cares about how we represent him in society, and especially to those who are the weakest, who are the most oppressed. So, on the way And I think, you know, I think God takes this extremely seriously. And I'll share it from Jeremiah 22. But even on the way to the CMP today, and I was just looking at the headline of the South China Morning Post, like I said. And you know what the headline was today? The top headline? It said, "What hope for the poorest? Hong Kong wealth gap hits record high. Report finds richest 10% in city earn 44 times that of the poorest." So I don't know if you know, but there is this index called the Gini coefficient. And it's an index from 0 to 1. And it measures this wealth gap. And the wealth gap for the Gini coefficient. So essentially 1 means higher inequality. From an index of 0 to 1, higher means more inequality. And it rose actually to 0.539 last year. And this is actually the highest figure since the city began keeping records on income inequality 46 years ago. So New York was highest at 0.551, and Washington came in third place at 0.535. But Hong Kong is number 2 in the world. So, you know, can I be really honest? I am also a foreigner. I mean, I'm not a Hong Kong Chinese. I didn't really grow up here. I don't really know. I didn't know until recently where Chow K Wan was, or I can't really distinguish between Tun Mun and Sun Kwan Oh. So I don't really know much of Hong Kong. But I felt like God was speaking to me, "You are missing my heart. You are missing my heart because I've called you to Hong Kong at this time. And the fact that you don't care about this inequality is an issue." So I'm just speaking to myself. And I, you know, maybe right now the Lord is speaking to some of you as well. But I wanted to share a little bit. So Isaiah 1, which I shared. And then I want to go to Jeremiah 22, and I want to give you some historical context. So I'll read some of it, and then you can just listen. Jeremiah 22 was this time, it was a very difficult time for Judah, because they had essentially, they were stuck between Egypt and Babylon. And essentially they had been conquered, and then it was Egypt, I believe. So the Pharaoh at the time, he killed the previous king, and then he put the next king on the throne, and his name was, I won't read through everything because it's too long, but so essentially, he put a king on the throne, and then that king only lasted 3 months. And then after, he put another king. And here in verse 11, that king is referred to Shalom, son of Josiah. So that was the first king. And Jeremiah says that first king who was put onto the throne after Pharaoh put him on the throne and killed and destroyed the previous king, he was taken captive and then thrown away. And then he was taken captive and taken away. And then there was another king who came after him. And that is... There was a second king. And then what the second king did was, you can read in verse 13. This is the second king. "Woe to him who builds his palace by unrighteousness, his upper rooms by injustice, making his own people work for nothing, not paying them for their labor. He says, 'I will build myself a great palace with spacious upper rooms.' So he makes large windows in it, panels with cedar, and decorates it in red." And then God says, "Does it make you a king to have more and more cedar? Did not your father have food and drink? He did what was right and just, so all went well with him. He defended the cause of the poor and the needy, so it all went well. Is that not what it means to know me? But your eyes and your heart are set only on dishonest gain, on shedding innocent blood, and on oppression and extortion. Therefore, this is what the Lord says about Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah. They will not mourn for him. Blah, blah, blah. So, sorry, just briefly, what I'm trying to tell you is they were in a very difficult time. So, you know when you're a king and you're in a very difficult time and your national honor has been totally destroyed, you know what you do? You try to build monuments. You try to resurrect your glory. You try to tell your people, hey, I'm back in power. You know, yeah, we just got defeated. We're not doing well. So, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do a monument building project. Because we've been destroyed, I need to get the people's their strength up. So I'm gonna force them to build this wonderful palace for me. Let's bring, you know, the cedars of Lebanon and let's build a nice palace. And what God was saying was, I know you're in a difficult place and I know this is the kind of the human thing, your logic to do politically, but you're doing it. This is not what I want you to do. Because what had happened was Egypt had come, they had forced a lot of tribute on this king. So he was already taxing his people a lot. And on top of it, he then went and had his people forced labor to help him build the palace. What I'm trying to say is, God really seems to have a heart for, again, the poor, the people who are oppressed. He really cares. And it doesn't matter what your political situation might be, and it doesn't matter what... even in this case, where I can understand, you know, the king wanted to build up the national pride. But even then, God was saying, this is not what I want you to focus on. I want you to focus on the poor and the oppressed and not oppressing them even more. But thinking about, you know, that's my father heart for these people. As the king, you should not be oppressing them. So, let me try to bring it all in. What I'm trying to say is, we need to really have a heart for this city. And one of the parts we need to have a heart for the city is we need to think about the oppressed. And potentially that might not only be on an economic context, but we certainly live in a world, and especially here in Hong Kong, second most inequal place in the world, city in the world, we do have oppressed people. We have people who cannot stand up for themselves. So, I was thinking about that this morning. What would this mean exactly? So, number one, it would be helping the poor. It would be maybe monetarily, maybe even serving in outreach. And, I mean, the good thing is, we as a church, as you give your tithes and offerings, we actually do support a lot of different ministries that deal. We give monetarily. A lot of ministries that try to help the poor and the oppressed. Let's say even prison ministry, for example. Or we go out for outreach and we help, let's say, migrants who are in Hong Kong or relative or who are poorer, and we and ministries that support them, either going out, you know, even providing food. Like we support a ministry that in Tuen Mun they provide food pretty much every week. They organize food banks and people come and they try to be a positive influence on the community. Thankfully, we also help. So that's one, helping the poor. And then I thought, well, we should do that, and these are big issues. But then I felt like I was saying, you know, there's other things that you can have, you can think about individually. You don't have to only think about these macro issues. And I thought, well, number one, do we have employees? Because I have employees. Am I treating my employees fairly? Am I just focusing on the bottom line? Or am I thinking, you know, I might make maybe a little bit less, but I want them to be able to also save for their future. So are we giving to our employees enough? Also, this really came to mind. our domestic helpers who help us at home. I actually, this is a really pet peeve, but I think it's 4,200 or whatever it is that we're supposed to give them. I really feel like that is not the ceiling for how we can bless our helpers. You know, I mean, look, if you're difficult and you're stretching, then of course, I understand. But if you're not stretching and you're buying suits all the time, or I don't know, you're going out for coffee all the time or dinner, I mean, we can pay our domestic helpers a bit more than the minimum what the government tells us to pay. It just was really, we can really bless the domestic helpers, you know, who help us. And that was one thing that came to mind. Also, like in the U.S., another thing, you know, this is so sad, but in the United States, they have this system called tipping. So the wages for workers who work in, let's say, hospitality industry like F&B or whatever, waitresses, they keep it lower because they say, well, you're going to get tips, like 20% of what the bill was, you'll get it. But supposedly, you know, they did the survey of waiters and waitresses and whatever, and they were saying, yeah, you know, we hate Sundays. Number one, because they have to work on a Sunday. But number two, you know, there's sometimes, you know, I guess Christians are not known for being generous with their tips. You know, it's really unfortunate. So you'll see all these Christians, you know, they hold their Bibles, they come into a diner, they come into a restaurant. Not only do they tip well, but they're also mean. Like, they're like, hey, where's my ketchup? I asked for my ketchup 5 minutes ago. Why don't you bring my ketchup? Or where's my order? You know, and I just feel like we are not representing Jesus well. If these are the people who serve us, yes, we pay them. Yes, they're serving us. Are we treating them well? Are we representing Jesus' love to them? You know, sometimes this is, I've been in situations where I'll see these restaurants near church, and sometimes I see some people from church, and I feel like they are not treating these service providers well. And if I had a relationship with them, I would go up to them and say something, and sometimes I do, but sometimes I don't, and it really irks me. But I really feel like, you know, we can do all the programs we want at church, but one thing we could do is when we're downstairs at McDonald's, we can be very kind to the people who are serving us. We can say thank you. You know, oh, thank you so much for that. Appreciate it. Give them a smile. You know, maybe what we should do is say, can I pray for you? You know? Or maybe if we see a homeless person at McDonald's downstairs, maybe we can buy them an Egg McMuffin. Maybe we can come up to them and like just say, how are you today? Like, it's not rocket science and it's not complicated. We don't have to figure out how to get that Gini coefficient like down, but we can do everything every day. Whatever God places in front of us, we can do something about it. Like the people that God brings in front of us, we can love them. We can appreciate them. We can represent Jesus to them. So look, that was just, sorry, I obviously, I was just trying to be faithful to what God was asking me to share this morning. So I apologize if you might be offended, whoever is listening or here, but I just really pray that please, if something was wrong with my delivery, then I ask for your forgiveness. But I really do feel like this is something that's on God's heart. You know, we as the members of the church, the body of Christ, disciples of Jesus, we are called to be a blessing where we are planted. We are called to be a blessing in the city. You know, I wonder if one day Solomon's Porch were to disappear, would our neighbors around here, people, employees down in McDonald's or Chui Wa or whatever restaurants, I don't know, Pret, or just Hong Kong in general, would they say, you know, ever since Solomon's Porch left, there's been a vacuum in the city. They used to bless us so much. They used to really love the city so much. But, you know, after Solomon's Porch left, there's such a vacuum. Would that be what is said of us? You know, that be what is said of you, where you are, whether it's even to your neighbors or to your whoever that you could be blessing. I pray that that is what would be said of us, you know? And sometimes I think we get so complicated. We think we have to do these programs, we have to... and actually, you know, I'm really blessed because Solomon's Porch, we really do, you know, from the top down, I really feel like our leadership has this heart. So I really am thankful. But even more, I'm just saying, I feel like God is calling us to a higher level of kind of love and concern for where we are planted. You know, let's remember, Jesus said, what you have done for the least of these, you have done for me. Right? Okay, I wasn't sure I was going to share this, but the other thing that's been, that I feel like God's been bringing to mind a lot has been refugee situation here in Hong Kong. Now, it's a very complicated issue because who are economic migrants and who are true refugees? Right? It's a complicated issue. But I'm just going to be open here and honest. I feel like for some reason God's been bringing it to mind, because up until a few months ago, I just didn't care about refugees or anything. But recently God's just been continuing to bring it to mind. Now here's the thing. If the poor in Hong Kong are, let's say, here in terms of the oppressed and defenseless, the refugees are the next level down. I mean, and I'm not going to say whether certain legislation is correct or not. I actually haven't done enough work. But all I can say is they are the least of the least, more least in terms of. And the interesting thing is a lot of the local churches, supposedly they have, it's harder for them to, their congregations to have a heart for this because they feel like, look, they're international people. And we have so many economically poor Hong Kong people before we even deal with the refugee poor. So I understand. But we're an international church. Maybe it's harder for us to minister to people who only speak Cantonese. But we can certainly minister more to everybody because everybody speaks English here. And most of these refugees actually do speak English. So we could potentially minister to them. So I'm just saying if potentially maybe God has been speaking to you about this as well, and if you have a heart for it, then please come, let's just reach out to me and maybe we could just pray about it together. And we certainly do, there are some ministries that we do support monetarily who deal with this. But maybe there's something that God is calling us to do beyond that as well. So that's it. And so, Lord, we just really thank you for this time. And I just really pray that... that your heart and your message would be the seed that is left today, Lord. And I pray for good soil, that these words, God, you know, my halting words, but Lord, that it would find good soil and there will be good seed that comes out of this. Because again, I just feel like, you know, the timing of all this and the Gini coefficient news, and I just feel like you're trying to say something to us, Lord. So really help us to have open hearts and ears to what you want to speak to us. And Lord, you know, social justice, poverty, these are such big issues. But Father, big change happens because, you know, individuals start doing things differently, have a different heart. So Lord, let us not get bogged down with these big issues or, oh my God, this is such a big issue, but let us just have an open mind and start looking around us. Lord, I mean, A lot of us, I mean, there are people who are more lacking, but there are many of us in this church, God. I mean, we could just support so many people, or we could just love so many people if we just bought one suit less, or, I don't know, like, went out for dinner less or something. So whatever it is that you're calling us to do, Lord, there's no guilt, but Lord, really just lead us to the area that you would have us, these oppressed, these poor, that you would lead us to. So these fatherless, Lord, the people who cannot stand up for themselves. So Lord, we just thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's move on to our Saturday EMP focus, prayer focus. So let's start with our mission focus. And let's lift up North Korea, Open Doors for Ministry, missional opportunities and partnerships in Asia. And let's lift up the persecuted churches, especially in the Middle East.